Welcome to Moneymakers Podcast, brought to you by Sophia. Sophia is an exciting education platform for women focused on managing your money and growing your wealth. This podcast is the Financial Sprint, short bursts of money wisdom for women.
Hi, this is Christine Yu, co-founder of Sophia, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we are going to talk about a topic so many women have asked us about. How to financially plan for our lives with our goals in mind. We're so fortunate today to have just the expert. Ildi Gritsyenko is the Asia Lead for JP Morgan Private Bank on goals-based planning. We're going to talk through some financial planning 101, as well as cover a few hypothetical scenarios. Get ready to feel inspired for your own financial planning journey. And don't forget to listen all the way to the end for our podcast jargon guide. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Moneymakers Podcast. We're very excited today to have Ildi Gritsyenko from JP Morgan Private Bank, and we're going to be talking about goals-based planning. So, Ildi, welcome to the show. Tell me about yourself and what you do at JP Morgan Private Bank.
Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. My name is Ildi Gritsyenko, and I'm the Asia Lead for goals-based planning at JP Morgan Private Bank. In my current role, I help clients create a holistic plan for their strategic asset allocation vision and help them optimize the way they allocate their capital based on their goals, needs, and values.
Amazing. So both our organizations are focused on helping women build wealth. You work with many clients on creating their financial plans to help them achieve their goals. I'd love to hear about your own personal light bulb moments when it comes to building your own financial plan. What was a key moment for you in your wealth management journey? What were some key approaches you followed in creating your own financial plan?
So I was born and raised in Hungary, but when I moved to New York in my early 20s, two things happened. First, when I got married, my husband and I, we started more consciously focus on our financial situation and our investments as we were preparing to purchase our first home together. Then second, when I started working in private banking in New York as an analyst, I had the chance to open my own personal retirement account called a 401k. And when I started contributing to this retirement account, that was the first time I truly had to select an asset allocation by myself and also think about the actual investments that would go into that asset allocation.
I think that is such an interesting light bulb moment because so many people, when I speak to, you know, women or actually just anyone in their own wealth journey, starting their retirement plan, you know, contributing to their pension, that's really like a, you know, a natural first step for us to learn about asset allocation.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, I love the creativity of it and how it made finance and investments just so much more personal and tailored to my unique needs. I think that was my epiphany moment.
Love it. So I'm really excited for us to talk about goals-based planning. But before we get started on that, I'd like to maybe cover some financial planning 101 that we need to understand before we get started on creating a unique plan for ourselves. Are there simple ways we can be thinking about how we save and create wealth for the future?
I think financial planning in general goes very much hand in hand with investment planning. So the key concepts relating to that would be, first of all, time horizon, right? How long do you expect to hold an investment? Is it for the short term or maybe medium term, 5 to 10 years, like saving for college or a wedding fund or first home purchase, or maybe long term, 10 to 15 years? Most commonly, that's used for retirement planning for some of our clients. Also, you need to consider how much risk you're willing to take and how much risk you're actually able to take in your investments, and be honest with yourself in assessing your risk tolerance. Because as we learned during the market crisis of 2008, many investors overestimated their ability to stomach downside risk and rushed to sell their investments near the market's bottom, suffering massive losses. So honesty is the best policy.
With yourself.
Exactly. And I think third is really the asset allocation. Think about the general investment process. For that, the foundation of a portfolio is based on the strategic asset allocation, which is the 10 to 15 year target for your asset allocation mix that's meant to be held consistently. It is meant to be disciplined and diversified with at least annual rebalancing. Then you can also think about the tactical allocation, which is a more active portfolio strategy where you might shift a percentage of the assets you hold in various investment categories to take advantage of short-term market opportunities. Usually these tactical shifts range from 5 to 10%, or they might be lower depending on the current landscape in the market. I also think that, just to touch on this briefly, manager selection can also be important. How you pick an investment manager. And I usually stick to the four P's: philosophy, process, people, and performance.
So it's not just for marketing then, the four P's, right?
No, there are other uses as well.
I like that. I'm always going to remember that.
I'm glad you find it helpful.
So let's go back to goals-based planning, because you are the expert in goals-based planning. What is it? Why is it important to create a financial plan for yourself focused on your personal situation and your life's goals? How should anyone get started with a goals-based plan? Are there any aspects, for example, to consider for women specifically, like lifespan, your family situation, income? And we also talked about your risk tolerance earlier, right? So what are some of those things that we need to take into account?
All right. So just to begin with, goals-based planning is a framework in which we help our clients organize their thoughts around their wealth in different buckets: liquidity, lifestyle, legacy, and growth. So this approach enables us to really truly understand the intent for our clients' wealth and help them build a strategy to address all of their needs and their risks as well. So if we look at liquidity, that tends to be short-term cash needs for emergency funds or sometimes capital for opportunistic investments. Then lifestyle is anything that pertains to your personal comfort zone, your everyday living needs, such as children's education, living expenses, housing, maybe private club fees. The legacy is wealth you intend to leave for family or philanthropic giving, either during your lifetime or after. And then growth is basically everything else where you might not have a clear intention, but you would like to grow your assets. And some clients also think about their concentrated positions in this section of the wealth as it generates more over time.
So to put it simply, you could think about your own wealth management in these buckets, right? So your liquidity bucket, your lifestyle bucket, legacy, and your growth bucket.
That's correct. And just to shed some light on why this is important, because historically, we have typically approached a client's situation with one single allocation, when in practical sense, not all of these goals carry the same time horizon or risk tolerance. For example, if you would like to give money to charity in 20 years' time, or if you need cash flow for retirement needs on an everyday basis, those goals will be completely different, and you need a different strategic asset allocation to go with them. And just to add to that, 70 to 95% of portfolio returns tend to come from the strategic allocation. So you need to make sure you get that right.
I always think that is so interesting whenever, and we teach, you know, women about asset allocation, right? That it's so important because it drives the vast majority of your returns. That is so interesting.
And Christine, you also asked about why it is important to create a financial plan for yourself focused on your personal situation and your life goals. I think a few things specifically would speak to this. For example, as one of my colleagues put it recently, understanding and taking control of your financial situation is a life skill, just like swimming, that really truly resonated with me. Also, financial plans should be personal and bespoke. Just because your next door neighbor is investing in something, it doesn't make it the right solution for you and your life. I also think that having a well-structured plan enables you to measure your performance and progress to those goals more precisely and meaningfully. Another thought on how should anyone get started with goals-based planning for themselves and the specific aspects women should consider for their planning needs. So first, you need to define what is truly important to you. What goals and values do you have? Create a list for yourself. Now look at your balance sheet. What assets and liabilities do you currently have? And how do those match your objectives? Make sure to create a structure that works for you and look for efficiencies. Budgeting and cash flow should also be considered. And with these, consistency and discipline are key. And as for aspects specific to women, research has shown that we tend to live a bit longer. And on average, that is definitely something we need to account for when creating portfolios for lifestyle needs. Also, the priority of financial goals tend to be a bit different for men and women. Men might note investing for growth as their number one objective, while women might focus more on taking care of loved ones and living expenses. But it is important not to lose sight of growth and aim for it in a responsible manner. And lastly, if you think about it, life events tend to also impact women more. We take more career breaks than men, which can affect liquidity and lifestyle planning substantially.
So I want to get practical. I'd like us to talk through 2 to 3 examples of some profiles and what kind of factors in financial planning you'd highlight for each of these hypothetical situations. So maybe the first case would be someone who's 25 years old, single, who has no children, and perhaps at this stage, no intention to have children, who is a professional woman and wants to retire young at 50 years old.
All right, so for this particular individual, I think that cash flow and budgeting should be key considerations, along with building a solid investment framework for her retirement portfolio with the 25-year or so time horizon she had in mind. I think it's also a good idea to develop a balance sheet for her with her assets and liabilities, so she's very clear on what she has.
I love that. So we're used to thinking about balance sheets in the context of companies, but you're saying it's your personal balance sheet.
Absolutely. And, you know, making sure you have everything accounted for clearly is very important. I also think for this person, if taxes are a consideration, effective tax management on the investments can also be very important, along with staying invested throughout market cycles and sticking to her plan.
I like that. So let's move to the second case. She's 35 years old. She's married. She's self-employed. She's an entrepreneur. She's got 2 kids and doesn't want to retire, but keep on doing meaningful work.
So in this scenario, I'm a parent myself and I can truly relate to it. I think having an emergency budget for unforeseen life situations with cash on hand is very important. That would be my number one things to check off the list. Then, because you mentioned children, I don't know their ages, but doing estate planning, taking care of wills, healthcare proxies, guardianship documents for the family would be essential, as well as sufficient life insurance for the parents, and creating a strategic investment plan for all of the family's assets. So in case she changes her mind and stops working, she would have a plan B to fall back on. And also, this pool of capital can be repurposed for legacy purposes for the children if needed in the future.
Very interesting. So the last profile, she's 55 years old. She's newly divorced. She's got two adult college-age children. She's been a homemaker, and she receives a divorce settlement.
This is a difficult life situation in itself. And for the woman in question, I think having a continuous and reliable income stream would be essential. Her portfolio should focus on downside risk management and inflation protection in the long term. Any investment she's not utilizing for lifestyle needs should be invested with a responsible growth mindset. For the two adult college-age children, not sure who is responsible for paying the tuition, but if the mom is the one, then she needs to allocate funds for this purpose in a conservative manner and only in investment solutions that offer liquidity, preferably daily. And just be mindful that educational inflation tends to be higher than regular inflation. And that's a very important consideration for cash flow planning for educational needs. And in general, she needs to take full control of her financial life and rebuild it while actively managing risk. Having a trusted team of advisors would be key to this success.
So interesting. Educational inflation, we know private education is expensive, but that's a very good point to note. So what happens when life changes or something unforeseen happens, like a death in the family, a chronic illness, or a change in a marital situation similar to what we've just discussed? How do we change our financial plan? What things do we need to consider when something unforeseen happens?
I think that having a plan for your investment needs should not restrict you. It is quite the opposite. It should give you oversight and the level of flexibility to make informed decisions when you need it the most. I also think that for unforeseen situations, focusing on what you can control in that moment would be important, such as cash flow, liquidity, lifestyle expenses, and maybe just at some point when the dust settles, just go back to the drawing board and re-examine your risk tolerance, your time horizon, and how the events have impacted your balance sheet. I also think that making sure that the legal framework you have in place for your life works in tandem with your strategic investments, because then you can make sure you reach your desired outcomes in the long run.
I love that you talked about how a financial plan is actually the source of your financial freedom. It gives you choices. That's so inspiring. So we've talked about planning for the future, for both the exciting things that life could bring, but also for the unexpected things. It can be daunting or overwhelming to create a financial plan for ourselves. But, you know, as we just said, right, having a financial plan means we're better able to navigate the future. What is one inspirational thought that you'd like to leave us with today?
Well, there is so much more I would like to say, but let me just leave with one thought. I truly believe that discipline is the bridge between a goal and an accomplishment. Make a plan, revisit this plan, and make sure it still makes sense for you. And stick to it throughout challenging market cycles. I think that would be my last comment.
I love it. Discipline. Thank you so much, Ildi, for being with us on the show today. I loved everything you said, and I can't wait to chat again.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up today, here's a few jargon words we talked about in the podcast. Asset allocation. Simply put, it is how you decide to divide up your investments across different asset classes in a way that achieves your financial goals and takes into account your risk tolerance as well as your investment time horizon. Manager selection. No, this is not how to choose your next boss, if only. Manager selection refers to the process of evaluating and selecting an investment manager, the person or the company managing the fund that you own or are looking to own. This process can include due diligence and research on a variety of quantitative and qualitative factors, such as their performance track record and their investment process. And finally, education inflation. This refers to the steady increase in the cost of educating your child, or even yourself, over time.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Money Makers Podcast, brought to you by Sophia, the education platform for women. Learn, invest, and change the world.